Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. I'm Jorge Martin, and today we're having some fun. We are going almost to the Great White North. We are going up to Minnesota, talking about some Vikings. And joining us today, Ted Glover. He's a former writer for the Daily Norseman, but currently he also has a podcast, Vikings Report with Drew and Ted, and where they talk all Vikings, and they are just really entrenched with this team. It's a fun team to talk about for fantasy. There's some definite stars to talk about, but first off, Ted, bienvenido. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing today?
Good, Jorge. Thank you very much for inviting me and having me on. I'm really, really happy to be here.
Well, it's awesome. And, you know, as we were talking right beforehand, I've got a very checkered history with the Vikings. I go back to the 70s, and the Fran Tarkenton always seemed to be it was either Fran Tarkenton and the Vikings taking out my hometown Rams, or Roger Staubach and the Cowboys taking them out. So just some phenomenal teams. I mean, it just really showed me the importance of the quarterback position, because the Rams just didn't have a Hall of Famer back there. And I think that was the big difference.
Yeah, those were some great teams in the 70s, some great rivalries. I mean, going back to the 69 playoffs, where the Vikings got their first ever playoff win, to the two or three NFC championship games, the Mud Bowl, the ever famous Mud Bowl back in 77. I think you finally got us in 78. The Vikings were pretty much had age and injuries and all that had caught up to them, and the Rams were finally on the way up. Went to the Super Bowl a couple years later with Vinny Ferragamo, I believe, wasn't it?
Vinny Ferragamo, yes. What a great time. I will say it's a little bittersweet, because I remember there was a late in the game, there was what would have been a sure interception from Terry Bradshaw threw the ball down the middle, and Nolan Cromwell had nothing but green in front of him. He was probably about 30 yards and dropped it. Next play, he goes up top to John Stallworth for about 65 yards and a touchdown. And that was the insurance. I got to meet Vinny Ferragamo probably 15 years ago. And I asked him about the game, and he was nothing but gracious. And he's still, you know, they're athletes, they're competitors. It's still kind of, it was great to have gotten there, but yeah, it still stuck with them that they weren't able to finish the job. But
sure.
But you know, this modern day team, and you know, we're talking about we're obviously talking about fantasy and football, and so much starts with the Vikings, with the quarterback. It's Kirk Cousins. He had a really good year last year. Actually better than average year than he's had in the past, with 35 touchdowns. What kind of like went right last year? I think one thing that really went right, we could talk about in a couple other skill groups later, but definitely what were some of the schematic aspects that really kind of worked for him?
The emergence of Justin Jefferson, having a viable option opposite Adam Thielen. You know, the Vikings had that tumultuous offseason with the Stephon Diggs trade. And so as a result of that, they had to get another top wide receiver, and you know, a lot of fans were gun shy, to be quite honest, because they had drafted Laquon Treadwell, I think, in 2016, and that didn't work out. And they got Justin Jefferson, and they didn't really play him a whole lot the first couple games, and then he just kind of explodes onto the scene against Tennessee. And from there, it was him just continuing to establish himself in the NFL. Had, what, over 1,300 yards receiving, 7 touchdowns, whatever it was. So that was a huge, I don't want to say pleasant surprise. I mean, you know, when you draft a guy in the first round, you expect him to produce. I don't know that anybody expected him to produce quite at that level. So now that's great, but now that expectation is there for him to continue that going into 2021.
What do you see for Cousins being some of the keys to success this year?
You know, it's funny we're talking about Cousins, because I think it was The Athletic that came out with their quarterback list, and they had him ranked in the third tier, like 15 through 20, whatever it was. And there are a lot of intangibles that Kirk Cousins brings to the table when you start discussing him. But when you're talking from a pure fantasy perspective, Kirk Cousins is a top 10 guy. I mean, he's either been in or right at the cusp of top 10 numbers as a fantasy quarterback since he became a starter in Washington way back in 2014, 2015, whatever it was. So what Kirk brings, I think, is consistency at the position. If you're talking fantasy football, he's going to give you consistent numbers week in and week out. The one thing that I think hurt him early last year is the Vikings focused more on passing the ball, and quite frankly, he was not very good. The Vikings started out 1-5. At one point, he led the league in interceptions, or was close to it through four or five games of the year. And then the Vikings sort of refocused and recalibrated more towards a run-first offense. And when that became successful, you saw the Vikings offense start to pass more. You know, a lot of teams in the NFL now pass to set up the run. The Vikings are still that old school run to set up the pass. And when they do that, they had success. I mean, they had the fourth most productive offense when it was all said and done in terms of yards. So they were doing something right. And Kirk Cousins, you know, after that, those first five or six games, played very, very good football.
And yeah, he had a run there of about six games where I remember continuing to recommend him on the waiver wire, because he was always like that guy who was owned in about 40% of leagues, but he had a lot of great matchups and he took advantage of them. And that, I think that's the thing. And you mentioned he was top 10. He just finished out of the top 10 at number 11, but still wonderful season. And to me, one of the things that I think is really underrated is with him is that late season schedule is those home games in the dome. I think you get that that consistency. You know, you don't have to worry. I mean, obviously there is the possibility of going to Green Bay or going to Chicago and experiencing some real weather, but you know, those games in Minnesota and Detroit, I think that's one of the things that really needs to get kept an eye on. And you know, this is you know, technically it's his last year of his contract, I believe. And the did I get that right?
No, he has his next season salary was fully guaranteed the second or third day of this league year. So he's got what I think a $45 million cap hit next year. So they got to figure something out, whether, and I don't want to get into those numbers here, but no, he's got one more year, whether it's with the Vikings or they trade him, whatever they do, they've got some issues to work out with his contract next year.
Oh yeah, because I was going to ask about, you know, just the Kellen Mond getting drafted in the third round, and he's a guy who got a lot of hype as being the guy after the Big Five, one of the guys after the Big Five. Mm-hmm. What have been some of the like futuristic expectations on him as, you know, possible successor or just insurance in case Cousins leaves?
I think the anticipation is that he will be quarterback the next. Mm-hmm. Whenever that is, I don't know that it will be in 2022. I think, you know, with Cousins' contract, he's probably around through next year, which puts Mond on the bench for 2 years. He's still a, you know, third round pick, so he's only got a 4 year deal. So they've got a year and some change to kind of evaluate him if that's the route they're going to go. I don't really anticipate him being a backup this year. They've got, you know, guys like Jake Browning and Nate Stanley. I think they're wanting to have them. Mond has just been very inconsistent so far, both in minicamp and through one whole practice where we can make such declarative statements of training camp. So I don't know. Right now I don't see. I mean, things can change. Obviously, there's still the whole entire training camp preseason to go. I don't see Mond as the primary backup right now today. Let's just put it that way.
Okay. Well, I think there's someone who is not a backup to anybody, Dalvin Cook. Pretty much, he's going off as expert consensus rankings. He's going off as the number two running back behind Christian McCaffrey. You know, back to back solid seasons, relatively injury free. You know, he missed one or two games in each season. I mean, obviously, the shoulder has been a concern at some times and different things, but. Break down just if you can, you know, you've gotten to see this guy, you know, so closely, you know, what do you see it makes him great both as a runner and also a pass catcher?
He can do it all. I mean, he has great vision. He rarely misses the hole, or if the play design isn't developing where it's supposed to go, he has the ability to to bounce outside or cut back and make something happen. He can take football. He can catch the ball and get upfield fast. I mean, he's a powerful guy, and he's got some wiggle to him. He can make a guy miss, but he is a lot more powerful runner than folks give him credit for. He initially is a north-south guy and goes right upfield and gets yards. And then when he thinks he can get more, once he gets to the second level, now he's looking to put a move on somebody and get that extra 10 or 15 yards. And he's exceptional at doing that, whether he's catching the ball or running with it.
Now, I asked an injury expert if he had any concerns for Dalvin Cook, and he said he had more concerns about him last year, possibility of, with the shoulder injury. But for all intents and purposes, does he look full systems grow?
So far, yeah. The 17 game schedule is going to be interesting. I think that's going to affect everybody in the NFL. I worry about Cook because the Vikings offense looks so different with him not in the lineup. It's just kind of a night and day thing. And so I really hope they can keep him healthy and manage his carries. I think he had over 300 touches last year, both receiving and running the ball. And you're just going to run a guy into the ground if you keep doing that. So they have to be able to manage his workload so he's still relatively injury free by December. I mean, that's kind of a misnomer in the NFL. Everybody's dinged up by then. But can he still take the field and be productive and not miss any games down the stretch when the Vikings are really going to need him more than likely? That's the thing I'm looking for the most out of Cook.
And you mentioned, trying to maintain him. Do you think that might make Alexander Mattison someone to, kind of like a wild card late in drafts?
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to draft Cook, I'd draft Mattison, late in the draft as your backup. Cause let's face it, Cook has had some injury history. There's also this rookie that I really like, and I hope I don't mispronounce his name, but it's, Kine Wangwu out of Iowa State. He didn't play a whole lot at Iowa State. He had some really talented guys ahead of him, but everybody through minicamp and training camp so far has raved about his speed. Not much of a pass catcher coming out of college, so I don't know if they can look to integrate him as much as they have, like, say, a guy like Mike Boone in the past, who's now with the Broncos. But that's a guy to kind of – I don't want to necessarily say a sleeper, but if Cook or Mattison get injured and are going to miss 3-4 games, he's a guy you might want to keep an eye on.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Fourth round pick at Iowa State. Just, I heard a little something, but yeah, definitely. I mean, definitely looking at Cook, all the way and hoping he stays healthy. But yeah, you're right about the 17 game schedule. So much. I'm hearing so much from other insiders that, teams are really kind of, cautious about that 17 game. And that's why a lot of teams are having like multiple running backs instead of a bell cow, AKA Lee Caballo, as we like to call him on our Familia FFB podcast. But two guys that really take the lead on the wide receivers. And I think it's, you got Justin Jefferson. You mentioned probably the greatest rookie season since another guy named who also wore the Viking uniform, Randy Moss. He was pretty good too.
Not too bad. Yeah, he's all right.
Not too bad. He's not too bad. I know people were saying that Jefferson had the best season. I'm like, last I checked, Randy Moss scored 17 touchdowns that year. And that was 10 more than Justin Jefferson. But Justin Jefferson, spectacular talent. Adam Thielen, the funny thing is, I think with Justin Jefferson's star rising has made him kind of rise in early rankings. Whereas Adam Thielen, I think people are expecting the fall off, but I mean, this is still a guy who was one of the leaders in touchdowns last year. Can you kind of break down how the targets are going to be broken up between the two of them?
Yeah, it's really a good question, Jorge. Now, Thielen just had under 1,000 yards. He had over 900 yards. I think he had over 70 catches. I'd have to look it up. 14 touchdowns. I mean, the thing, if there's a contrast between Jefferson and Thielen, if you're Kirk Cousins looking for a guy, I think between the 20s, he looks at both. And when you throw it to Jefferson compared to Thielen, I think Jefferson will probably get you more yards because he's younger, faster. He's more of a deep threat than Thielen is. But when this field starts to shrink, I think Cousins relies more on his veteran guys. If you look at the touchdowns Kyle Rudolph had over the years when he was with the Vikings, Thielen last year, he looks for, I don't want to say his old reliable guys, but I mean, that's kind of how it's played out. I don't know that that's going to be as much of a factor this year, because I believe he's developed a level of trust with Jefferson that might not have been there early on when Jefferson was a rookie and still kind of getting up to speed with everything. But it's hard to ignore Adam Thielen, because the guy just gets open. He just catches everything thrown his way, and he just makes plays. I mean, it's hard to say that a guy that's multiple 1,000-yard receivers, had 900 yards last year, is kind of flying under the radar. But I think outside of Minnesota, he is. He was hurt a couple years ago, missed a big chunk of games. And with everything, you know, with so many other storylines in the NFL last year and the Vikings not having such a great season, Thielen was sort of lost in the shuffle. I like Thielen a lot. I think he's still going to be extremely productive for the Vikings. I don't know that he's a 1,000-yard guy, but he's going to be close. I think he's going to have more receptions than Jefferson is. And I still say he's going to have more touchdowns, but that's just me.
And Jefferson kind of, I think some people had him pegged as a slot guy last year, going into, you know, coming out of the draft, going into the season. What did you see early on that said this guy's a complete receiver and potentially a stud for a long time?
The Tennessee game. I mean, he just sort of blew up, and it was, you know, there were kind of some grumblings the first couple of games. They started BC Johnson, and BC Johnson is what he is. And we were kind of wanting to see, well, what can this kid do? And then they finally released the Kraken, and he just had a great season. I wish they had started him from day one, but he's got, for a guy that's only been in the NFL 1 year, he has tremendous route running ability. It usually takes guys 2, 3, or 4 years to get to that level. Stephon Diggs was that way when he first came to the NFL. I don't know that Jefferson is as polished as Diggs was at that same time in their career, but he's a very good route runner for a guy that's only been in the NFL 1 year. And I expect that to get better when you have a guy like Adam Thielen. You now got a guy like Dede Westbrook who can take a lot of that slot duties when the Vikings do go to 3 wide receiver sets. I don't know that they're going to do it a lot. They historically haven't. Only did it 30% of the time last year, but I think a guy like Westbrook can make the Vikings 3 wide receiver sets a little bit more respectable and something that they go to more often. Leaving Jefferson on the outside to just take on whoever the opposing defenses want to throw at him, and I think he'll get the better of those deals, the better of those matchups 9 times out of 10. He's just that good. I mean, he's got great hands, he's got great route running, he's got speed. He's got everything you want to have in an elite wide receiver.
And I think you know, you look at those two guys, the top two guys, you know, Jefferson and Thielen. I mean, those two are going to be way over 100 targets. And you mentioned Dede Westbrook. Is anybody going to be much of a third wheel, or is this really going to be funneling toward those two guys and everybody else is just kind of picking up scraps?
That's a good question. The easy answer is yes, they're going to funnel those two guys, but it's a little bit more than that, because the Vikings' third wide receiver option really hasn't been all that enticing the last 3 or 4 years. It just hasn't. They got a guy like Dede Westbrook who he's coming off a knee injury. So I think the Vikings are going to take him slow, take his progression slow. But he's probably the best option the Vikings have had at the third wide receiver spot since Jarius Wright. I would expect him to get maybe 25 to 30 catches, which is kind of par for the course, a little bit more than I think maybe 30 to 35, which is probably a little bit more, which might take some targets away from Jefferson and Thielen. But I still think the Vikings are going to run their 2 wide receiver sets and 2 tight end sets more than anybody else in the NFL, which they have the last couple seasons. I think they only did 3 wide receiver sets 30% of the time, which was last in the NFL last year. So I don't think that's going to change a whole lot, but Dede Westbrook adds a dimension to the Vikings passing game that was not there before and will help them be more diverse in their schemes and their pre-snap sets.
So you mentioned the two tight end sets, you know, with Kyle Rudolph leaving, going to the Giants. Now, I think some people are really loving the idea of Irv Smith becoming that third target. But, you know, he had a few games there at the end of the season with Kyle Rudolph out, and the targets didn't necessarily go up for him. Is, you know, how do you see the targets kind of shaking out for him? Is it going to be up, or is it going to be kind of like flatline?
I think it's going to go up a little bit simply for the fact when Rudolph was out, the Vikings were that was in their very run centric kind of philosophy at the time. And you had a guy like Thielen and Jefferson making most of those catches. With Rudolph gone, even with Rudolph kind of injured and Smith not getting all his targets, the Vikings tight end still had, 650 yards receiving, which is fairly respectable for the tight end position for most of the NFL. I mean, it's down year if you're George Kittle, I get it. But I don't think that's an unrealistic number, because there's no guy at tight end behind Irv Smith that makes me think he's going to see a lot of playing time, or when they go their two tight end sets and they decide to pass the ball, not going to be very much of a passing option. Tyler Conklin did okay late in the year. I think Smith was banged up a little bit as well. But if the Vikings are looking to throw to a tight end, it's going to be Irv Smith, and there's not really anybody else that's emerged right now to be a compliment to him. And I like what Irv Smith can do. I think he's going to be has the ability to be very lethal over the middle in those, you know, kind of between the hash marks, getting 15, 20 yards. I hope the Vikings will use him. I think he's one of the better pure pass catching tight ends in the NFL, and he has that ability to be very good. So we'll see how they do.
Offensive line was kind of an even play last year. There was the investment of Christian Darrisaw in the first round of the draft this year. How does this unit kind of shape up for this season?
Still remains to be seen. I will say I feel more comfortable about this offensive line heading into training camp this year than I have at any time since 2017. That was the year they signed Mike Remmers and Riley Reiff in free agency. And lo and behold, they got two competent tackles. They ended up going to the NFC Championship game. Not saying that's going to happen this year, but not only Christian Darrisaw, they also drafted Ohio State guard Wyatt Davis in the third round. And both of those guys, they're projecting to start. And when you look at the Vikings offensive line now, in years past, it's been sixth round guy. It's been undrafted free agent guy. It's been guy we got out of the third row in week 12 because everybody else was hurt guy. I mean, they just didn't, and they drafted guys, but not high level guys. Now you go left to right on the Vikings line: Christian Darrisaw, first round pick; Ezra Cleveland, second round pick last year; Garrett Bradbury, first round pick; Wyatt Davis, third round pick; and Brian O'Neill, second round pick. So they realized, I think, after 10 years as GM, Rick Spielman realized the error of his ways, and they have invested heavily in this offensive line. And it is time for this offensive line to produce. And that's a lot to ask when you have two rookies in Christian Darrisaw and Wyatt Davis, but they didn't draft them in the fifth and seventh round. They drafted them in the first and third round with the expectation that they can play in the NFL. They can play well in the NFL, and they can play well in the NFL at an early point in their career. So I like the talent that's there. I do. The most talent they've had in a while. But that talent still has to prove itself on the field. If they do, if that offensive line comes together, you know, this was a top five offense in yards last year. They could be downright scary. So we'll see what happens.
And that's something to definitely keep in mind for those Dalvin Cook owners, especially. Yeah. So everybody drafting him, he's got some guys opening a holes for him. Last football question, the defense. The defense was such a problem last year, which I'm sure Mike Zimmer being, making his name on the defensive side of the ball, I'm sure that gave him some sleepless nights. They were such a target, especially against the pass last year. Are there going to be improvements? Is this going to still be a defense that's vulnerable, that's maybe kind of growing up? What's your assessment?
The defense had a very what's that TV show, Extreme Makeover, whatever it's called. I mean, yeah. They did. People forget they signed Michael Pierce last year from Baltimore, and he sat out because of COVID. He's back. They signed Dalvin Tomlinson in free agency. They signed Sheldon Richardson, an old friend they brought back from 2018. They signed Bashaud Breeland, a pretty good cornerback from Kansas City. They signed Patrick Peterson, who's probably on the backside of his career. But when you look at Patrick Peterson compared to what the Vikings had last year, it's an upgrade. They also signed Xavier Woods, safety from Dallas, you know, to replace Anthony Harris. You got Anthony Barr coming back, who missed, I think, what, 14 games. Eric Kendricks missed half the season, it seems like. So there are a lot of new guys. I expect the defensive line to be really improved. I think that will help the secondary. The Vikings defense is going to be better. They were, I think, 29th or 30th in the NFL last year. They're not going to be that bad this year. A lot of Vikings fans, I think, are setting themselves up for disappointment, though, because they think Mike Zimmer, top five defense, which was sort of the norm around here. I think it's extremely tough to go from the 29th or 30th ranked defense into the top five. I would be happy with a defense that's somewhere between, you know, 11 and 16. I'm thinking low teens, 13, 14, 15. And that should be good enough when you look at this offense and what they are capable of doing to make the Vikings a fairly dangerous football team.
Think about that. That'd be a huge improvement. I mean, if you're just, especially when you got that kind of offense that could be so explosive, I think they're going to be a tougher out on the defensive side than we thought before. We talked a little bit offline beforehand. One of my all-time favorite movies is Right Over Your Shoulder. I mean, Bull Durham. Do you have a favorite line or scene from that movie that can be shared? That's PG.
That's shareable? I like the one scene where Crash tells the batter what the pitch is, and it just goes like 600 feet, and Nuke looks at him. He said, Crash goes, man, that thing got out of here like a rocket. Anything traveling that far ought to have a flight stewardess on it, don't you think? And he looks at him and says, you told him what the pitch was, didn't you? Like, yep, I did. It's like, yeah, that's just an all-time great movie. I was telling you off screen, that was the first date my wife and I went on was Bull Durham.
Spectacular.
Way back, many, many moons ago.
What a great choice. I will say one of my favorite shareable scene is the pitching mound where everybody's talking about their issues that have nothing to do with baseball. Candlesticks make a great gift. I mean, it's just
somebody put a curse on Jorge's glove and nobody seems to know what to get Jimmy and Millie for a wedding gift. Great movie.
Oh God. I could quote that movie all day long. That and The Princess Bride, I could go on for days on it. So we always close with a fun question. Tacos are like pizza. Everybody loves them. You know, everybody, you know, even a bad taco is still pretty good. What are your favorites? And I believe there's a place around you that needs a little attention.
Yeah. So I like, there's this place I live just outside of St. Louis, Missouri. And there's this place in town, right in the Soulard district called Mission Taco. And they have this great carne asada taco and they have fantastic fish tacos. I love fish, love tacos. I always thought fish and tacos were like a weird combination till several years ago when I tried a fish taco, and that's pretty much my go-to default taco. Now, I love fish tacos, but the carne asada tacos, a little pico de gallo, perfect.
Chef's kiss.
Perfect.
Chef's kiss.
Just perfect.
Oh yeah. Well, and what's the name of the place again? Mission.
It's called Mission Taco Joint here in St. Louis.
Hey, you guys owe this guy lunch. Okay. So please take care of my man, Ted. Ted, esto fue un gran placer. Thank you so much. Thank you. Gracias. 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 Please feel free to plug away any your show, anything else you want to.
Yeah. I kind of retired from the blogging business, but at least writing, but I'm now doing a show on YouTube with a good friend of mine, Drew Bunting and his wife Ruby, or Toonces the Talking Cat. It's called Vikings Report, Drew and Ted. We're on every Saturday morning at 10. We just did a live show last night for training camp. We're doing a live show next Wednesday at 7. But we've been putting out content since just before the end of the Viking season is when we started the show. We got one show a week that is with the season coming. It's going to be a preview. And then after the games, we're going to do a live post-game show with another buddy of ours, Christopher Gates, who is the current editor-in-chief and head writer for the Daily Norseman, the Vikings website that I used to write for. So really excited with what we've done with the show and where the show's going. Can't wait for the season to kick off and kick it into high gear.
Oh, and definitely let everybody know where they can find you on Twitter, you and the show.
Yeah, so the show's handle is at Report Ted, REPORTTED. My handle, if you want to follow me for some whatever reason, my Twitter handle is at Purple Buckeye. You can find the show on Facebook, Vikings Report with Drew and Ted, and it's all it's not only just YouTube video, but it is downloadable in podcast form. Just search on your favorite podcast platform for Vikings Report, Drew and Ted, and you should be able to find it there as well.
Oh, man. Well, thank you again. And everybody, familia, eso es todo for our show. Thanks again to Anchor and YouTube for putting our content out there. Anchor on the audio side and YouTube, as you guys can see, on the video side. Please make sure you subscribe. Hit us a like. Definitely let us know that you're watching and listening. Also, you can find original content at familiaffb.com, as well as you can find me at JorgeMartin17 on Twitter, and our Twitter and Instagram handles are the same at familiaffb. And don't forget to find us on Facebook. So, otra vez, Ted, thank you so much. Gracias, gracias. And everybody, remember, todos somos familia. Salud.